Spirit of the Lord, descend on me, I pray. Spirit of the Lord, descend on those who have ventured out this morning to be in your presence. Spirit of the Lord, be with those who desired to be here but could not be present. Pour upon them as well this day. Spirit of the Lord, may the very words I speak, the very moves I make, the very actions I take, may they be guided, nurtured, inspired, and directed by you. For I am simply a vessel, empty in this moment, inviting you to pour into me what you desire to be said, to be spoken, to be uttered, not only for these your people, but for me as well. So come, Holy Spirit. Come into this moment. Come into this time. And let us feel you. Let us experience you. For this, O God, is my humble prayer. Amen. This morning, church, as we come on this cool day. Okay, I'll say cold. Just put it out there. It ain't cool. It's cold outside. But as we come this morning, I want you to come back to the text that was read to you this morning. And I want you just to focus on this title of the message this morning. What scroll portion are you reading? What scroll portion are you reading? Our text tells us that the Spirit of the Lord had come on Jesus. Indeed, when we arrive at this passage, Jesus has come out of the wilderness where he has been tempted to do otherwise. And so now he comes into to his native land and he begins to share the word of God placed on his heart to these his people, to God's people. And this text tells us that that word began to spread very quickly. You see, when somebody new comes to town, the word spreads very quickly. When a new neighbor comes in on the street, everybody want to know who that, where they come from, what they're made of. Are they going to keep the place the same way we used to keep it? Are they going to say the same things we used to say? Do they go to the same church that we go to? When something new, when somebody new comes in the community, we want to immediately start trying to figure out, who do they know? Where do they come from? This was likewise, as the scripture tells us, with Jesus. Jesus comes back that everybody is trying to figure out who he is, but whatever he is saying, whatever he has said already in the area has spread like wildfire. I can imagine somebody saying, did you see him? Did you hear him? What did he say? How did he look? And it says that Jesus did what Jesus normally did. Jesus goes to the synagogue. And as is custom when somebody comes in to the synagogue in this day, it was not uncommon for Jesus to be asked to read a portion of the Torah, the scroll, and then to remark on it, to give comment on it. Today Jesus comes and they hand him the scroll. But they didn't hand him any scroll. They handed him the book of Isaiah. Why? We are not told. But he's handed the book of Isaiah. And in those days, as you would, if you were to ever visit a Jewish synagogue, you would see that the scroll is rolled and rolled back. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes the scroll and he rolls it out and he goes, as the text tells us, to a particular portion of the scripture. Not any place, he goes to a particular point of the scripture. And then he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed have mercy, go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then what does he do? I believe this is the first mic drop, but it's a scroll drop. He takes the scroll and he rolls it back together and he gives it back. And then these words are spoken. Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What portion of the scroll would you read? When Jesus was handed the scroll of Isaiah, he turned to Isaiah 61. And then he says to them, after reading it, the scripture has been fulfilled. In essence, what he's saying to them is, this is the ministry I'm called to do. This is my purpose on earth. If you want to know what I'm going to be doing and talking about, just look at Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 and you'll know where I'm coming from. If you want to know how I'm going to go about doing the master's work, just look at Isaiah 61 and it's all right there. Because I am called and I'm anointed. Not just that I'm just called, but I'm anointed. In other words, I have been blessed by God, by the power of my Father, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the release of the captive, and to bring sight to the blind, and let the oppressed have mercy. Let the oppressed go free. Now, I don't know if you notice when you read that text, these are all action words. These are not words where Jesus is saying, I've been called to sit and think about it. I need to have a committee. I'm going to get together with the choir and I'm going to get together with the deacon board and we're going to have a discussion about this. No. These are action words. Jesus says, this is what I am called to do. If you want to know what my mantra is going to be, there it is. If you want to know what I'm going to be preaching and teaching throughout my lifespan, there it is. How does he say that? When he says to them, and the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You can tell everybody about that because that is what I will be doing. That is the portion of the scroll of Isaiah, that he chose to read this day. For indeed, he was proclaiming in that very moment the ministry that he was called to do, the ministry that he would lead, the ministry that would identify him. He was telling you, if you want to know who I am, what I am, where I'm coming from, just read that text anytime, any day, any place, anywhere, because that's my anointing. Still the question, what portion of the scroll would you be reading? Now, I know you're probably saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor Michael. You talking about a scroll? We ain't got no scroll. Oh, but you do. Because the scroll is this right here. Your scroll, my scroll, is this book called the Bible. This is our scroll. And the question is what section of this would you be reading to identify who you are and where you stand in the name of Jesus? If someone handed you the book and said, go ahead and read a piece, George. Miss Peggy, go ahead and touch this up. Miss Kate, I'm going to hand you the Bible. What portion of the scroll would you turn to? I want to believe that this portion of the scroll is the same portion of the scroll that had a connection with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. That when he wanted to stand up for justice in the world, for peace in the world, that this portion of the scroll would have spoke lively to him. I also want to believe another portion of the scroll that would have spoke well to him is to love your neighbor as you do yourself. Because you can't do injustice to somebody if you love them. And what would Dr. King talk about so many times? Love. Because when I love you, I won't hurt you. When I love you, I won't talk about you. Well, sometimes I might. But in love, I will go back and say, I was wrong. I will come back and ask for your forgiveness. I want to believe that this same portion of text would have been a text that might have been grounding for Mother Teresa. But when she was caring for the poor, I want to believe that she was wrestling with this whole piece of setting the captive free, of bringing good news to the poor. I want to believe that portion of text would have been part of her mantra, part of her basis for being who and what she was. I want to believe that Gandhi, who believed in peace, would have wanted to have this be a part of his mantra as well. This sense about when he was in South Africa and realizing what was going on in his home nation, of how his people were being mistreated and being abused and talked about, and that he would leave South Africa and go back to his native land to be a voice for peace and justice in a world that was violent and chaotic. I want to believe that that would have been his mantra, that like Jesus, they would have turned to the text. And he would have found that portion of text that spoke to who they were as people of their God. What portion of the text would you read? Some of us, somebody, will only want to read the creation story in a context that excludes those who are lesbian and gay and transgendered and queer. They want to leave that out. But God in the text of creation created all humankind, all life. And what God creates is good and very good. But some will only read that story in a certain vein. Some might want to stop when they were reading the story about how David coveted another's wife. We might want to just stop at that section and say, well, that gives us power and authority as we do over women. But it doesn't, because God would go along further down the story and say, no, that ain't right. What you did was wrong, and you will pay for your wrongness. Some of us want to read the text that only fits what we are currently doing that isn't right, rather than following the script all the way through and finding out that God don't like ugly. And I don't mean pretty ugly. I'm talking about wrong injustice ugly. I'm talking about when you mistreat somebody, when you talk about them, when you don't stand up for what is right in the world. God doesn't like that. Indeed, the example that he gives with his son Jesus to us is that he has been called to set the captives free. He has been called to bring good news to the poor. He's been called to give sight to the blind. I want to know, what portion of the text would you read? Where would you go in the Bible to describe who you are and whose you are? I just want to know this morning, what portion of the text would you read? Would you go back to Jeremiah, where Jeremiah, in the beginning of Jeremiah, says, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord saw in me. I'm only a child. But God calls him anyway. Or when Moses is called to go and free those from Egypt land, he would say, I can't speak like that. I can't do what you desire. I don't know how to. I have a stutter in my speech. I'm not the right person for the job. But God calls him anyway. And when God calls you, even if you don't have the gift of everything, God will put a supporter there so you can get it through. What portion of the scroll would you read? If you ask me today, Michael, what portion of the scroll would you want to open for you? It would be simple for me. It'd be Micah 6:8. O mortal, you know what the Lord desires of you. You know what the Lord desires of you. To seek justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That would be the portion of the scroll that I would read. It's the portion of the scroll I carry in my heart every day of my life. And when I found that portion of the text, I want you to know there's no turning around for me. I can't go backwards because I've come too far. God has been too good for me to turn around now. And so when I see injustice, I'm going to speak to that. And I'm going to have kindness for you even if you don't want to receive it. And I'm going to honor God in everything. Everything I say and everything I do. What portion of your Bible would you turn to
in the midnight hour? What portion of the Bible would you turn to when you have heartache and you're brokenhearted? What portion of the Bible would you have if you were sitting captive in a jail cell? What portion of the Bible would you turn to if there was no money in the bank? Have mercy. No food on the table. Have mercy. No heat in the house. What portion of the scripture would you turn to find your grounding, to let folks know that you are standing on God's unchanging, listen to me, God's unchanging hand? God has not changed in all a millennium. God has been God all by God's self. God's desire of you and me has not changed one iota. We've changed, but God has remained the same. So, church, that is the question before us this week. And if you notice in the bulletin, it said part one. Part two is next week.